Bible tonight, if you would, Ezekiel chapter 14. Let me introduce, I guess, where I'm going or some things I'm going to touch upon. If you're watching the news, watching much of the news here this afternoon, you probably saw, any of you see the president entertaining several people coming in that been from different schools, Columbine and what's that one, that little grade school? Sandy Hook, and then Florida, and different ones, and having different people come in and make suggestions and talk about things that we could do. Let me just say a thing or two, and it kind of go along a little bit about where I'm going. But you know, I listen to a lot of suggestions. Some things are kind of to me silly. We've gotten to a point where we have to arm people in our schools. We have to arm people in our churches. People will not listen and understand the answer they don't want to hear. The answer is go back to the old past. We have gone down this liberal pathways, and you know, they were making such a big deal out of all these kids skipping school and marching. And listen, if somebody gave me the opportunity to skip school, I didn't even care whether I knew what the cause was. I would have skipped school when I was going to school. Wouldn't matter. And if 100 people getting together and making a holler and screaming and so forth is going to change laws, then maybe 100 of us need to get together and holler and scream. But the point of the matter is this. We have gotten where there is a lot of danger. It's a sad and it's shame. But we're seeing it's not only in our schools. They saw it at a concert the other day. They saw it in nightclubs. They see it here and there and the other places, and it doesn't have to be any certain place. There's people just want to kill, and sad to say, it's hard to stop people. And some lady suggested, Brother Greg was talking about it, and I heard it too, suggested that we just need to get better knowledge on how to deal with it. In other words, how to communicate to people like that. Let me tell you what, when they're shooting them bullets, what you have to say don't really mean a whole lot. The only way to stop somebody is to put them down in their tracks. And that's sad. Had a guy in my house the other day doing something. He looked over my door. Somebody said, well, the idea is to do away with all guns. Then only criminals have guns. They tried to do that in Chicago. They tried to, maybe all the laws where they try to do away with all guns. They possibly can. There's more killings there than anywhere else. Can't even leave your house. Can't feel safe. Nowhere. People getting raped. Girls are getting raped. Going down the sidewalk. People getting robbed in broad daylight. And you know, it's pretty easy for them to prey upon people when they know they're not going to have guns. Guy in my house the other day, he said, he looked over my door. I had a shotgun. He says, that thing loaded? I said, it's loaded. He said, I'd hate to break in your house. I said, I'd hate for you to break in my house too. And he said, you wouldn't use it. I said, not unless I had to. But I said, I'll tell you this. If you got a gun in your hand and you start in my house, then that's why it's loaded. Somebody said, well, I like to keep mine all locked up and in a safe somewhere. Not me. I'm not going to go over there and spend 15 minutes and say, well, can you wait just a minute while I go get this out of the safe? You walk in my house in the middle of the night, I want to grab it and I want to have it handy. Amen? Like this, one old guy worked the EMS. I'll tell you this, and I'll get it more serious. We went and picked him up. I got to his house, and he had blood running down his head. and he looked like he'd been through war. And it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I said, "What happened?" He said, "That old woman of mine said she can't hear a lick," and said, "I got up. She won't let me smoke in the house. I went outside to smoke," and said, "When I closed the door locked." He was in his underwear. And he said, "I banged on the door and she didn't hear me." Said, "I raised the window and I was going to crawl in." And said, "She grabbed me by the hair of the head and started beating me over the head with a cane." And she'd like to beat him to death. And he said, "I kept hollering to stop. And the more I hollered, the more she hit me. And she liked to beat him to death." But, you know, the sad part about it, in all truth, we have gotten to a position now where some people ask me sometimes, even here in church here, they said, "Does it bother you if we have a permit to carry a gun?" I said, "No. Because you never know what's going to come and what's going to happen." It wasn't many years ago you didn't have to worry about schools like that. You didn't have to deal with issues like that. But they'll never stop and understand the real reason what got us where we got. And now we're having to deal with violence. Of course, didn't Paul say that in the latter days we would have perilous times? And everywhere we turn, this nation, and they want to, of course, a lot of them want to blame the president. And, you know, we've had things happening for some time here, but there's a reason why. Begin reading with me in Ezekiel chapter 14. I ran across a verse, and that verse stuck out to me, and I studied it, and that's what I want to preach tonight and share with you a thought. It says, verse 1, "Then came certain of the elders," this is Ezekiel talking, "of Israel, unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them?" Now get this and picture. Ezekiel here is a prophet. He's thinking and he's sitting here, and he may think, "Boy, the elders, these older people have come to me. They want to hear what I've got to say." But God's not fooled. And can I say this? These Easter Christians and these Christmas Christians, God's not fooled with that. Someone asked me some advice this week. Their son and daughter-in-law splitting up and having all kinds of problems. And they said, "Well, I told them God wouldn't do this and God wouldn't do that." But both of them lives like heathens. And what she the wife was saying to the husband, what he was saying to her, and what they were doing to each other, and they were pretending like, "Well, God just won't bless this unless I do, and God won't bless that." But the fact of the matter is, they were pointing at each other, not even considering their own lives. Hear what he says. He said, "Now listen, these elders that's come, they come to me and they want answers." And you know, that's what they happens, a lot of these politicians. When something happens like in Florida, oh, they'll gather around, they'll have a little prayer service. A 9/11 happened, they gathered on the steps and they started praying. And then it's just a matter of time until they started voting God out. Didn't want him anywhere in our schools, don't want him in here, courthouses, all that. And all their part of them, their agenda, is to keep God out of anything they can. And so God told Ezekiel this. He said, "They've already got idols in their own heart. They don't want nothing from me. Why do they come and inquire something of me?" He said, "They don't really want to hear what I've got to say." In verse 3 or 4, "Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols." In other words, he said, "Now this is what I want you to do, Ezekiel. When they come to you and they've got all this in their life, I want you to tell them exactly what's going on with them. Don't mix words with them. Tell them exactly what I said about who they are and what they are. Verse number 5, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because that they are estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away from your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. In other words, now listen. He's talking to Israel. Now Judah thought they was going to escape, and I'll tell you, getting that in a minute. But he's talking to Israel. Now listen to me very carefully. Whether it's Israel, whether it's Babylon, or whether it's the United States of America, you need to understand something. We can't support sodomites marrying. We can't support abortions and pulling babies and killing babies in the womb. We can't pass laws and have laws like that and expect America to prosper in righteousness. The Bible says that righteousness will exalt any nation, but sin is a reproach to any nation. And so what happens is we've passed all these laws. We wonder what's happening all around us. We've given our kids authorities they should never have had. We've given them a voice they should never have had. And therefore, what we've done is we've taken the voices away from the places they should have been, and the authority away from places they should have been. And now we're reaping what we sowed. Now, and then they come, and God said, you tell Israel, don't come to me unless they're willing to turn and repent and come to me and start asking me to help them out. In verse number 8, and I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. In other words, he says, now listen. He said, there may be people saying things that's not true. But when I know who's not true, I know what's right, I know what's not right. And he said, when they get up there, they claim to speak for me, and they're deceiving the people, he said, I'm going to cut them off. You'll know that I'm God. In verse number 10, they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may go be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. In other words, he said, those people who's going to these false prophets and asking for things they want to hear, instead of coming to me and finding truth, he said, I'm going to cut them both off. Verse number 12, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, now notice this, this is the verse that got me, that I want to preach from, this one in verse 20. It says, though these three men, Noah and Daniel and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. For if I cause noisome beasts,